Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. The McKinney Fire has charred over 85 square miles in the Klamath National Forest in less than 4 days and devastated at least one community along the Klamath River in Siskiyou County. As of this morning, the fire has burnt at least 55,000 acres with no reported containment. At least 2,000 people were forced to evacuate, including the residents of Wairika, which is home to more than 7,500 people and remains within the fire's reach. The extent of the damage remains unknown, but yesterday officials confirmed at least 2 people were unable to escape and perished in the fire. Rain helped slow the McKinney Fire's pace on Sunday, but thunderstorms sparked at least a dozen smaller fires in the county, and the threat of gusty winds and dry lightning can still potentially fuel the state's largest wildfire so far this year. Joining us now is Mike Lindberry, Public Information Officer for the McKinney Fire. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning. I see a map behind you. Are you at an incident command post up in Siskiyou County?
I am. I'm at the McKinney Fire Incident Command Post in our briefing area. I think it's significant, and it's a big part of the story today, is that we have clear air behind me and over the fire. That could lead to some issues that could lead to some more active fire behavior today, and it's something that we're really going to be keeping an eye on.
Yeah. You know, there are constant updates throughout the day and evening hours. What was the latest information, you just touched upon it, that you can share with us about the McKinney Fire from the morning debrief?
Well, just some of the numbers to start off with. We've upped our personnel on the fire to 1,363. And then our acreage grew to 56,165 acres overnight. Quite a bit less still in the growth than we had in the initial stage of this fire, primarily because of the high humidity and the weather inversion over the fire. Our fire behavior analyst has let us know this morning in briefing that if we are to see clear skies over the fire in the afternoon, there's a really good potential for this thing to get up and move. Basically, those heavy fuels out there that have been smoldering, as soon as they heat up and if they get any wind on them, there is a chance that this fire could begin to move again. The other thing is that we have a red flag warning over the fire area today. With that is the potential of thunderstorms over dry hills. Our air, according to our incident meteorologist, has actually almost 3 times more moisture in it than it would typically in August. So if we do get thunderstorms over the fire today, we have a chance for some heavy rain over the fire area. That could pose a pretty serious hazard to our firefighters on the line and the communities around the fire's edge with flash flooding.
Although the growth of the wildfire has somewhat plateaued in the last 24 hours or so, you touched upon this. It grew rapidly in just the first 48 hours, from 35 acres on Friday afternoon to 18,000 acres Saturday morning, more than 50,000 acres by Sunday morning. For listeners who are unfamiliar with this part of California, just south of the Oregon border, what's the terrain like and what are the challenges?
Well, the challenges of this forest are many, and the terrain is been a problem for, the history of fighting fire on this forest. We have very steep, inaccessible terrain on this forest. And the 3 things that really cause a fire like this to grow are fuel, weather, and topography. Topography and fuels have been our enemies during this. These fires have been fuel and topography driven. Weather has actually been our friend the last couple of days. In the initial stage of this fire, we had clear skies with a real good convective activity, meaning the smoke could and the heat could lift off the fire, causing further growth. We haven't had that over the last couple of days. There is a chance over the next few days that could develop again. And that's something we'll really be keeping an eye on.
Talk to us about the resources for this recent wildfire, because there have been multiple so far in the last month or so across the state that have been significant in size.
There have been. California hasn't been as busy as it was last year at this point, but we have had multiple fires in the area. Currently, we have resources ordered and inbound. We've increased by approximately 400 to 500 Firefighters, since the beginning of shift yesterday, we're now at 1,363. So we do have resources inbound and arriving throughout the shift. That's obviously a good thing because of the potential of lightning, the holdover fires we have from previous lightning strikes. We could have multiple fires grow in the area. So the better prepared we are with the resources, the better off we're going to be.
There have been a number of homes and other structures along the Klamath River which have been either significantly damaged or destroyed. Can you tell us which communities appear to be hit the hardest and what resources are available for these residents?
Well, by far, the community of Klamath River was hit the hardest. They had multiple structures destroyed, and that's unfortunately where the two fatalities occurred as well. We have other communities in the area that we have protection set up for, Fort Jones, Etna, Syed, Happy Camp, and Wairika. We've been working in those areas to get line constructed and prepare structures so that if the fire does begin moving into those areas, we have a better chance of stopping forward progress or at least slowing it and keeping it out of the structures.
Two people did tragically lose their lives in this fire. Their bodies were discovered yesterday morning in a car in a driveway west of the community that you were talking about of Klamath River. We don't know any more regarding their circumstances, but what is your message really to listeners who live in wildfire-prone areas of our state?
That is a great question. And my message is to them, be prepared. If you live in the wildland-urban interface or intermix, you need to have a plan. You need to know your area. It's basically know how you're going to get out when it breaks, you know, when fire breaks out. The other one is have good communications. Make sure to sign up for your county's emergency alert notification program. And you can usually find that information through County Office of Emergency Services or sheriff's departments. It's so important to be aware of what's going on, monitor the weather conditions, and have a good communications with your neighbors so that, you know, you can help each other out if necessary.
There's another wildfire, smaller one, that is burning west of the McKinney Fire. It's the China 2 Fire, I believe. What can you tell us about this wildfire?
Well, the China 2 fire actually, as of this morning, is going to be separated out and run by a separate incident management team. But last night, the China 2 was more active than the McKinney fire and did grow by about 400 acres or so. That fire has not received as much precipitation on it as the McKinney has. But they are making good progress getting lines in. Particularly, they're watching the community of Happy Camp and the corridor of Highway 96 that passes through. That fire is now burning on both sides of that corridor where they are doing structure protection.
Finally, Mike, we are very much in wildfire season, which has, you know, now become year-round in recent years. Last week, we talked about the Oak Fire in Mariposa County near Yosemite, which at the time was the largest fire in the state this year until the McKinney Fire. What do you want people to understand as we head further into fire season?
You know, I think one of the messages that I've been saying is fire season is year round. We are now in high fire season. And in the span of my career, 35 years or so, I've seen the size of fires go from, you know, a large fire being 60,000 acres to up to several hundred thousand. And we've had two fires, you know, at a million or close to a million acres. These fires, when they get explosive like this, they're not controllable. So I really think people need to know that if they're recreating, if they are transiting these areas, they need to be fire safe. They need to be aware of what they're doing with any potential ignition sources. And also make sure that they know where they are and have good communications in case fire does erupt and they need help quickly.
Yeah. Lastly, you brought up a good point. I know the fire is still under investigation. Is there any preliminary cause at this point?
No, cause is undetermined on the McKinney Fire at this point.
Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
Mike Lindberry is the Public Information Officer for the McKinney Fire in Siskiyou County. Up next, we'll meet a nonprofit devoted to reducing the violence and stigma surrounding the sex trade and learn how a new law hopes to dismantle the disproportionate harassment of women and transgender adults, often those of color. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.